Okay, shh. Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Just Believe Radio on the Right Stream Network. I'm your host, Lisa Tarvis. I am a metaphysician, a board-certified holistic health practitioner, an intuitive, and an author of the book Just Believe, and, of course, a radio host. Every Sunday, we have a really interesting show. What I try to do is get people on the show who talk about spirituality, metaphysics, you know, the paranormal, any kind of thing in under the spirituality umbrella, any kind of topic under the spirituality umbrella, and today is no exception. I've got two great guests that are going to be on today. The first hour, we're going to be talking about archetypes, and what I want to offer for people is Michelle Avanti, who is going to be on the show, is actually someone who, just with your birth date, can tell what your archetype is. So I want to encourage people to call into the show and have that done. She'll explain what the archetypes are and everything when we get her on the radio here. But I definitely want to encourage everyone to call in that wants to know where they sit. Basically, I think it's kind of like a personality type, or I don't know. It can help. I guess we understand what your natural talents are and what your challenges in life are and things like that. So, but I'm not sure. Michelle will tell us all that when we get her on the phone. But our phone number to call in, the phone number to reach the show is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And you can listen to the show calling into that number, or you can, if you have a question, if you want to get on the air, press number one, and you will be, you'll show up in my queue, and I'll get to you as soon as there's an appropriate moment in the show. So if anyone's listening that would like to be on Just Believe Radio, please feel free to email me. My email address is lisa@lisatarvis.com, lisa@lisatarves.com. And I would be happy to read what you've got going on and find a date for you to get on the show. So everyone, I want to read Michelle's bio here so that everyone can understand what she does and who she is and what we're in for here in the first hour of the show. Michelle Avanti has been teaching metaphysics since 1972. She is an ISAR certified astrology professional, metaphysical minister, six-star astrologer, emotional freedom technique professional, and an award-winning author. She works with clients all over the world from her home in Oregon. Michelle does a weekly radio podcast on blogtalkradio.com, I Am the Light. So same thing we're doing on blog talk. So if you want to find her show, it would be www.blogtalkradio.com/I Am the Light. And her show airs every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you can also read her numerology column at astrologyandmore.blogspot.com. So without any further ado, I'd like to bring Michelle on the air with us and start talking about what she does. Michelle, are you there?
I am. I'm so delighted to be here.
I'm so glad you were able to be part of the show. I find this fascinating because it's different than astrology. I would guess it's similar to numerology.
Yeah, it's a form of numerology. When you look at the universe, and I know you do numerology because I did check out your website. Yeah, so you're real familiar with that. But the whole universe is based on numerology. It's based on numbers. The geometry of the universe is based on numbers, and it's all in this particular universe that we're in. The archetypes are the ones that I'll talk about, but I believe there are other universes that may have different archetypes, but here we have certain ones. So,
yeah, I think that I think it's going to be a fascinating topic because there's so much going on, but thinking of the different universes and all that. I mean, you know, I think there are times when we start blowing people's minds with the whole concept of different universes and time dimension and, you know, all these different things going on. And people start to get a headache when they think about this. What I want to really focus on here is first is finding out what are archetypes, what are they, and how does knowing where you are in, you know, an archetype, how does that help you live your life better?
Okay, well, that's huge. Archetypes, before you come into physicality, you're going to make all kinds of choices. You're going to set the road plan or the road map for your lifetime. And as you are making decisions, one of the key decisions you're going to make is about consciousness. What are the key things that you in this lifetime intend to focus on? And what challenges will come with that? So you set a certain plan. It's kind of funny. I always compare how we do these things to games. If you look at Monopoly, when you start the game, you choose a part. Or if you play Clue, you choose a person to be. Well, when you come into the physicality, you also choose consciousness. You choose a state of consciousness. And it's going to relate, of course, to the consciousness you've been building over millennia if you've been a reincarnating soul, which the majority of us are. At any rate, when you choose consciousness, you're choosing key basis for your outlook. And it doesn't mean that you don't experience all the others. It means that you come in with a certain directive in terms of the way your outlook will be, and that will bring on certain challenges. So when they created this universe, they created levels of consciousness for you to be able to work through so that you could master the art of creation. And so it's a big game. It really is a game to soul. But for us to live in the chaos, we may not find it such a game. But it's a better outlook.
Yeah, I mean, that's really true. So with a person's birthday, let's just start very basically. And again, please, anybody that's listening that wants to call in and have this done, I'm gonna be the test subject here first, so everybody can see what they're gonna get. But remember, the number is 347-945-7246, and press 1, and I'll see you in the queue. All right, so to do mine, to figure out where I am as an archetype, where I am in the archetype, I don't know. How do you even say it? I guess.
To figure out your archetypes. That's good.
To figure out my archetype. Okay, so you need my birth date?
Yeah.
Okay, so June 17th, 1966.
Okay.
That's right, everyone. I'm really old. That's right.
Not compared to me. So anyway, the first thing you would notice, okay, is that you're born on the 17th. And when we do numerology or we do archetypes either, we're going to take the number and reduce it. So you're going to go 1 plus 7 is going to equal 8. So we know that your inner archetype is an 8. Now, I'll explain them in just a second, but I'm going to teach everybody how to do your archetype, okay? And then you would take the outer archetype, which is the entire date of birth. So we know June is the 6th month, and we're going to add that to the middle number, which is the day of birth, and that's 6 plus 8, and that's going to give us a 14, which reduces to a 5. And then we're going to add that to the 1 plus 9. And one, anytime you add any number, any digit to a 9, you get the same digit. So it's basically 5 plus 1, which is going to be a 6. And then 66 would be a 6 plus 6, which is a 12 and a 3. So we're going to add the 3 to the 6, and we end up with a 9. So I will do it again in case anybody didn't quite follow, but it's pretty simple. So what you are is on the inner, you are an 8. On the outer, you are a 9. The inner reflects what people who are close to you will see and note about you. And the outer is what anyone who meets you will see about you, okay? The 8 is what I call the diplomat. The 8 is someone who is an artist. I also call them the artist. They're an individual who comes in with a sense of balance. They have this sense of balance and harmony, and they want to keep that balance throughout their environment, throughout their lifetime, and with everyone that they come in contact with. As a result, they can be in the field of the arts because they see beauty in things. They see composition, and they see design, and they see balance. So there is a natural affinity to composing things. And that can be composing words. It can be composing art. It can be composing clothing, how you dress, how you decorate your home. It goes into a whole lot of areas. Most people think art is only painting on a canvas. But it's much, much more than that. It's music. It's musicality. It's being able to hear. It's dance. It's so many of the creative elements. And we have the ability to bring creativity into any area of our lives when we are creative individuals, when we allow ourselves in the flow. And the 8 is going to be more aligned with that than others, which means that it's your natural state to bring balance and harmony. Well, with that, of course, comes some challenges, and the major challenge is that because you want harmony so much, that you will go out of your way to do things for everybody else and usually put yourself on the back burner. And you have to remember to maintain your balance. You have to keep yourself in the picture. So that kind of gives you some of that. Do you understand that? Does that fit you?
Yeah, and actually, it really, really creepily does. I mean, there's so much about it that, you know, I have so many interests like that are creative, you know, with obviously writing, because, you know, I did author a book, and I do write articles, and I love doing that kind of work. The sense of balance, I have this ridiculous like sense of balance, everything being balance, everything being right or wrong, right and wrong, and it's like fairness. You know, I have this need for everything to seem fair and to be fair and to make things fair. So it actually, you know, then that fits with the harmony part too. You know, so it's really interesting. I think it does absolutely fit me in a lot of ways. And interesting is friends and people that are listening that know me personally. You know, sometimes I think when you have something like this done, somebody else hears it, you know, anybody's they're listening to the archives and you know me personally, you know, you got to let me know what you think of that. Because I think so many times we don't really see ourselves as we really are, you know, other people do because we're, you know, doing our own thing. But, of course, the switchboards are lighting up here. So I want to get a first caller here and see if they have a question for us. 703 area code.
Hello?
Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi. Hi, Michelle. My name is Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Do you need my
yeah, if you want to give me your whole birth date or you want to just tell me your inner number, that's fine.
Well, I came up with 3 when I put my birthday, June 16th, 1952.
Okay, so you're a 7 on the inner and you're a 3 on the outer?
I know I'm a 3, but on a 7 I still don't understand, but I'm getting
there. You did fill that out. I'll go through it. You're June, so that's a 6.
Yeah.
And plus the 7 because you're born on the 16th, correct? So that's a 13,
yes,
which comes to a 4. And then we're going to add 1 to that, so that's 5. And then you have a 6 and a 2, is that correct? So it would be plus 8, so 5 and 8 is what, 13, which is, again, comes to a 4.
It's a 1952. I don't know the 6.
52. I got the wrong number. So we've got 5 plus 7. And that comes to 12, right? And 12 is a 3. So you did it right. You're a 3 and a 7. So I'll tell you about both of them real quick, okay? 7, first of all, is your inner number. But 7 is a very exciting number to me. You're what I call the risk taker. Sevens are the people who move the world. Sevens are the people who go out and do things that the rest of us don't necessarily have the courage to do. And you will leap off the cliff where the rest of us, we're just, you know, we're going, wait, maybe that's not so safe. And, of course, being a 7, you come into this world saying, I'm not going to have just a monotonous life. I couldn't handle it. I need something that has change. And throughout your life, you will have change. And there'll be times where you'll say to yourself, oh, I just want to sit still. I don't want any more change. Please don't give me any more change. But that'll be a respite for a very short time because there's a part of you that cannot stand. You get bored. You get bored easily. So you're a person who has more courage than the rest of us. You're a person who gets bored more easily. And, of course, the Achilles heel in all of this is that you tend to emotionally get so stuck sometimes when things have been removed from you, someone has been removed from you. You feel the sense of loss that is so deep emotionally that can go on for 7 years, and you have to be careful to take a new adventure when you've had some great loss. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't go through a mourning period, but you have to look forward to another adventure. Otherwise, you get stuck for a long time, and you go into a place we call the pity party, where you're really feeling sorry for yourself. So you need to step beyond that. On the outer, you are a 3. And the 3 is what I call the nurturer. And you can't miss them. I mean, you spot them everywhere you go. You can see these nurturers. Nurturers are people who family comes first. They see the world in terms of their family. It's very important for them. And this, of course, can be very, very hard on a 3 if their marriage or their family breaks up or any part of their family leaves for whatever reason. It can be very difficult for them. But they're the ones who I know I've done big conventions where people have come to me and stood in line waiting for me to do an archetype, and a person will come up to me and they'll say, can I get you a glass of water? And I know there are 3. They're always 3. Mm-hmm. They're just wonderful people. You can't help but love them. So thank you for being here. Big challenge with the 3 is you tend to sometimes take so good care of other people that you move from being the person who takes care of people to the person who becomes the caretaker of people to the person who becomes the martyr, and you have to watch out for that. You don't want to be a person who martyrs themselves in taking care of everyone else. You must keep yourself in the loop. So you'll know when you're doing that because you'll find yourself saying, I can't do this because, I can't do that because. When you hear yourself saying that, whether in your mind or out of your lips, you have stepped across the border. Bring yourself back. Put your boundaries back up and step back. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Does that resonate?
Yes, it does. Yes. Thank
you
so much.
And do you think you're a risk taker? I mean, does that part?
Well, I am. I was a teacher for many years, and then I retired, and then I became a personal chef. And many of my teacher friends would not do something like that. That's a risk taker to me, to go into a totally different profession where
you're not
getting paid every 2 weeks. You're working for your pay. And when I was a teacher, I was also a travel agent. So I do take those kind of risks. I guess that makes sense. That would be a risk taker.
And that's something that I did miss with the 7. And there's a lot of things. I can only say so much on the radio, but the 7 is also someone who loves to travel. So that's very appropriate for you to have been a travel agent. Yes. And also remember, this is a mitigating factor. You have a 3 and a 7. When we look at the numbers together, you see mitigating factors. 3 likes to have roots. They like to have a home. They like to have stability. The 7 likes to take risks. So there may be parts in your life where one dominates the other. And if you're a person who manages to handle both things together, you'll find that you're doing both. You're satisfying both parts of yourself, which is what you were doing when you were a teacher and also a travel agent.
Yes. Thank you so much.
wonderful.
You're
Thanks
so welcome.
Thanks for calling in, Ann. Thanks so much. All right, I think I've got Daria here on the line. Daria is the creator of the Right Stream Network, and that's the station we're on. I'm pretty sure this is her holding here for us. She loves this stuff. So, am I right? Is that Daria?
Hey, Lisa. Hi, Michelle. Yes, it's Daria.
Hi, Daria. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Awesome.
All right, so we're going to find out more about Daria now. So give us your birthday, Daria.
Okay, and I want to say I've done this through Dan Millman's book, so I'm just curious to see if it's any, you know, if this differs from that or whatever. But, Lisa, I'm right behind you. My birth date is March 14th, 1967.
Okay, 1967. So you're a 5 on the inner. And let's see here. So 3 plus 5 is an 8. 8 plus 1 is a 9. And 6 and 7 is, isn't it 13? Yes. So you're a 4 on the outer. So 4 on the outer, 5 on the inner. I know Dan Millman's book. I've never read it, so I can't actually tell you. You'll have to tell me at any rate.
Okay.
But I used to own a bookstore years ago in Las Vegas, and I sold plenty of copies of his book. At any rate, on the inner, you are a 5. And 5 is a very, I consider it a difficult number, but at the same time, it is a number that brings incredible detail to the mind. You're a person who is a great learner. You love to learn. You absorb detail. You're someone who can work with anything that is involved with detail. We find in the 5s can be engineers, they can be doctors, they can be veterinarians. They love large animals usually, and can be teachers, of course. They can be attorneys. They're just people who are great with details. They can be people who work with contracts. So they're also librarians because they love books. They love learning. So it's a whole world that the 5 has. But the 5 also, the big challenge with the 5 is because the mind is so active, it chews on details. And as a result of that, their biggest challenge is that they tend to be worriers. Worry is always when we are living in the past or living in the future or dragging the past into the future. And as a result, we find ourselves in a state of worry. And what we need to do when we get into that state is to remember to come back to the present. In the present, we take action. We live here in the present. So it stops the worry process. So hopefully that helps. Does that make sense to you? And, of course, the 5 is your inner number.
Oh, that definitely makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Well, the outer is the 4, and the 4 is an incredibly powerful number. It's called I call it the patriarch. The 4 is the individual who comes in with this, again, when we look at the numbers together, because think about what I just said, now we're going to add this other number to it. The 4 has a very sharp mind, very sharp. They're the ones in elementary school. The teacher will say in the second grade, okay, we're going to cut out a pumpkin today, and she lifts up that little orange piece of construction paper, and the 4s are already drawing the pumpkin on the construction paper. They haven't waited for her to do anything else. She showed them the paper, she said it was a pumpkin, and they go for it. The 4s always are just like right on the edge of happening. They go forward, they take control, and they are very quick to figure out what's best to do anything. So they make fantastic managers. They're people who never stay at any low level in any business. They always rise because they're so fast in the way that they handle things. Of course, with all of this comes a challenge, and the challenge is that you're so good at just about anything that you may have a hard time not telling other people how to do things. And the lesson of the patriarch is to learn in this lifetime to stay in control of your world, not to control other people's world. It's very easy for you to, and you can do it out of the goodness of your heart, saying, oh, honey, let me do that for you. Don't. The lesson is to let others experience life in their own way, to honor them in their choices. And if you see them doing something miserably and you're cringing inside because you can't even handle watching it, you can always say, "Is there? You know, I've done this before, and I kind of know a way to do this a little easier. Would you like me to help you?" If they say no, you back away. But you always ask. never start doing it for them. And this can be a real challenge for the fours because they're very good at doing things. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like I have more people trying to control. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It feels like it's more I'm on the receiving end of that more than I'm the one doing it in my life. But
that's interesting because you need to look further on that, and you may have somehow managed to switch it around. I've literally done thousands of these archetypes for people, and I've only had, and I swear, only a handful of people who have stepped beyond their archetype. But everyone can, and as we move forward, you know, I've been doing these for since the 90s, so as we continue to move forward in consciousness, more and more people will step beyond their archetypes. So I look forward to that. But you may want to look at that. It may be that you've actually subverted it so much, and there are other things that can mitigate an archetype. Your birth sign and the way that things are astrologically can also mitigate, just as your sun sign can be mitigated. There are lots of things. We are so creative as souls when we design our lives. It's fascinating.
What about the idea of, like, other people that are in your life that are trying to manipulate you, or they're trying to change you? Will that affect an archetype?
Well, it depends on how the archetype responds to that. It depends on where the person is in their world. And our numbers, the frequencies of each number activate in different ways. So, yes, we do affect each other. This is why it's really, really valuable for us to understand the archetypes of the people around us. When we do that, especially if you have children, you'll be able to understand why one needs this and another one needs that. You know, if you have a child who's a seven and you say, no, don't climb that tree, and you keep them housed inside the house and you overprotect and overcontrol, you're really killing the passion of that individual. If you have someone who's a four and they keep taking care of everybody else in the family by, well, your other child wants to do this, but he doesn't know how, and this child shows them how, is always doing for them. This does not allow the individual to have their experiences as best as they can. So you have the ability, when you understand the archetypes, to help each individual with their challenges and also to help them grow.
I'm just curious because, you know, knowing Daria pretty well and knowing some of the things that are going on in her life where she would feel like she doesn't have some control over certain things, and that other people are trying to manipulate and every, you know, or I don't know, just be, I don't know. It's kind of like a beat down almost, you know. It's like, you know, because
yeah.
I think of you, Daria, as someone who is so good at what you do. I think you're a risk taker for sure. Even though that I don't think that was part of. I don't know if that was one of your numbers or not.
Oh, it wasn't.
Yeah, I think of her as being that, but I think that some of like her family and things think of her as being crazy for doing some of the things that she does. Definitely, you're detail oriented, no doubt. You know, so that part fit, but I can understand that. You know, can there be a phase? I guess, Michelle, in
absolutely,
your life.
Absolutely. We go through, when we take a look at the overall picture, okay, there are cycles that we all go through. And you can go through cycles where you're more, the seven is the overbearing cycle or the overriding cycle. We do go through cycles in life. There's no question about that.
Yeah,
and
so that's
there's a way for me to do that, but it's too complicated to do on the radio, so I don't.
Right, yeah.
But yes,
yeah.
When we lay it out, absolutely. And you also have this interfacing, and, of course, when we get down to any time an archetype doesn't seem to fit quite well, and yet it may very well fit. It may be that you have a sharp mind and you use that part of the four, but you have already learned the lessons of control, and for some reason in a past life you may have been the controlling one, so in this lifetime you're still taking on the four, but other people are controlling you. So what do you have to do? You have to learn that they have to learn to honor you, which means you have to learn boundaries.
Yeah.
So, you know, there can be a lot of reasons, and that's why, you know, astrology is one of the most amazing things there is on, you know, 4,000 years of study to create astrology. as we know it, and it defines so many things. You know, looking at the fact that you're born on March the 14th, that really doesn't tell me everything. All it tells me is your sun sign, and sun is in Pisces, which tells me that you can be a person who can be 10 times more compassionate, and as a result of that, you can be more easily manipulated. Pisces is a nebulous sign in that it's a sign that allows others to form it, because it is more of a psychic sign than it is a physical sign. And so when you look at that, that softens everything. And depends on how much you have in Pisces, how much of a nebulous, or how easy it is for others to manipulate you. And that's a big lesson. Pisces tends to stay, we call it in astrology, we call it the closet. It's where we keep all our karma, and it's where we hide. And Pisces is famous for hiding. So it's very interesting. And they hide in different ways. It doesn't mean they're not out there and they're not seen, but there's a part of them that does not want to be seen. And as a result, they will step back when someone gives you a punch. They tend to fall into the closet rather than come back with another punch. So, but that's
that makes sense.
You know, that's just the sun. You have to take a look at the rest of the planets and how they're positioned.
Yeah, and I did have a whole reading done years ago, and I know that Capricorn's my rising. So, but, you know, I know that's not what we're here to talk about today. I don't want to take up too much time with if there's other people calling. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I'm going to have to go find that old reading and look through it again.
Yeah, you'll find it very valuable when you take time with it. That's why when I do sessions with people, I always record them that way, you know, because I go forward in time, and they'll be able to then listen later when they need to hear that part.
Yeah, very interesting, though. It really is.
Yeah, it is really interesting. I love this. This is really cool because it's so accurate, and it's just, I don't know, it's interesting. So anyway, thanks for calling, Daria.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to listen on the computer now. But, Michelle, thank you. I'm listening, and I'm really enjoying it.
You have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay. Take care. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, everyone, all the listeners, the number to call in is 347-945-7246. 347-945-7246. Press 1, and you will be in the queue, and we'll get you on the air. If you want to not go on the air, because some people just don't like that, the chat room is also open. I opened it late, so I apologize. But you can also come into the chat room and just give me your birth date, and I can read it for you to Michelle, and she can do your date that way. I some people don't like to be on the air. I don't know why, because it's so much fun, but whatever. So anyway, Michelle, explain where the archetypes originated.
Well, they really originate in states of consciousness. When they were creating this universe, they set it in motion that certain states of consciousness would be in this space. And they set it up with the number 9 as being the end number, and 1 being the first number. So it's the first 9 digits are the archetypes. And everything in this universe, in terms of its frequencies, comes back and relates to those 9 archetypes. So no matter what is going on in your life, you could actually, I mean, you go crazy doing this, but you could actually look at everything in your life in terms of numbers. Because when we are looking from soul's viewpoint, what we see really is frequency, and frequency is numbers. So where it originates is in actually the construction of this universe.
So there are nine archetypes?
There are 9 archetypes. There are 9 main archetypes. There are also, as you know, master numbers. All of the master numbers will relate back to the archetypes. Master numbers, for anyone who's not aware, or whenever you have a double digit or triple digit, 1-1, which is an 11, or relates back to the number 1, but it also relates to the number 2. And it's mastering of both of those numbers when we see the number 11. 22 is a master number, and it relates back to 2, and it's a major emphasis of 2, and it also talks of the construction of 4. So it's a mastering of both of those. But whenever we have master numbers in our world, a master number tells us you don't completely belong to anyone, but you belong to the world. And you'll see that in a person's life where they have a home life, but they also have some kind of a public life that causes them not to really belong always to the home, but rather to the rest of the world. They have an outer experience that is important for the rest of us. So, and that doesn't have to be on a national level. It can be in a community level. There are lots of ways that we have that. But so that kind of gives you an idea. But there are 9 archetypes, yes.
Okay. All right. We have a caller on 413 area code. Are you with me?
Yes. Hey, Lisa. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. And hello, Michelle. It's so good to hear you guys.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm going to tell you my birthday.
Okay.
It is February 15th, and do I have to tell you the year?
Only if you want to. I mean, if you want to just share the inner number, you can.
Okay, well, it's 66.
Okay, so you're on the inner, you're a 6.
That's 40,
and let's 40, go, 2 40, plus 6 40, is an 8, 8 plus 1 is 9, and then you're a 12 on the outer, which is a 3. Okay, so you're a 3 on the outer, and we've kind of talked a little bit about the 3. I don't know if you were on the were listening at the time.
No,
but the
I
3
didn't
is,
hear it.
Yeah, the 3 is what I call the nurturer. You're a person who you have a natural tendency to take care of those around you, and you're a person who family is very, very important to you. When family breaks up or any part of family breaks up, it's very hard for you. You're an individual who having a home life and having a home is important, and the 3 tends to be someone who takes care of others. You're just very, it's kind of the mother energy. You pour love onto everyone else, and you look after others. You notice them. You take that, you have that sensitivity for what people's needs are. And I won't leave it to just people. It can be animals. It can be plants. It could be trees. But you have that. And, of course, the challenge with that is that you can overdo it where you leave yourself out and you find yourself doing so much that you become the caretaker and then become the martyr. And you have to be careful of that. Always be aware when you find yourself saying or thinking, I can't do this because I can't do that because I can't, I can't, I can't. Whenever you find yourself saying you can't, you have to take a step back and say, okay, what boundaries do I need to put down? Why have I taken so much on? It's time to step back. So hopefully that's helpful to you.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
The 6 on the inner, you're the 6, and I love the 6. The 6 is the happy person. I love 6s. They're what I call the butterfly. I call them the social butterflies. They are fantastic networkers. They're individuals who connect with others and connect people, and they're good conversationalists. They enjoy socializing. They're individuals, though. They're here to experience choices. The year that we're in right now is 2013, and this is a 6 year.
Oh.
And this is a year where key choices will be made by people all over the world, and they will make change as a result because the number that comes next year is 7. So the changes come after the choices are made, and that's pretty much the way it works. This, when a person is a 6, making choices is a key part of their life. It always seems that there are choices in front of them. And I know everyone will say, well, aren't there always choices in front of all of us? Well, there are, but a lot of us just kind of skate through those choices. The 6 is actually tremendously aware of them. And it's not easy for the 6 to make commitments because they tend to see both all the choices that are possible.
Right.
There it's more difficult for them, for example, to make a serious commitment and stick with it. And I would say, you know, if a person is a 6 and they're in a relationship, you may want to make sure that you have a space of your own so you don't feel like you've given up all of your choices.
Right.
It's crazy, but yeah. So
it's true, though.
So hopefully that's helpful to you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I'm a 6 on the inside and a 3 on the outside.
That is correct.
Okay. So I'll just look up that stuff further along, you know?
I have a book that's coming out which you'll be able to use and apply. I recommend that people, you know, once you know your archetypes, do everybody's in your family and everybody that you know, and you'll understand how and why you may get along better with some and find it more difficult with others.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That'd be fascinating to do your kids and your parents and, you know, your siblings, you know? And
yeah.
you're like, this makes sense now.
Yeah, and it really is helpful. And the purpose, one of the reasons the spiritual beings wanted me to get this kind of information out is because we need to really honor the differences between us, not to poke at them or try to make anyone like us, but rather to honor them. So a person is a 4. Let's give them the space to be that 4. If we could learn to do this as a people in our small worlds, we'll extend that frequency out across the nation, and the more we do this, the more balanced we become.
Right. I agree. Well, I'm looking forward to your book, Michelle.
Well, I will have it out on August 1st. I am saying that. I'm actually going to hope to have it out when we have the grand sextile in the sky, which is July the 28th.
Ooh, and that'll be after Mercury's out of retrograde, too.
Yes. Perfect timing.
Yeah. Can't wait for that.
I can't wait for that day. All right. Thanks, you ladies. Hey, have a good day, both of you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, bye-bye.
All right, so let's do this. Tell me, I have just a couple questions. Explain how somebody can do this for themselves if they so desire. I mean, is it something you can teach people to do?
Absolutely. It's so easy. There's no question about it. That's why I have a book coming out. But it's a small book. It's very easy to read. And all you do is just apply this information. But when you're looking at what are my archetypes, what are my numbers, you simply take the day of birth first, which is very easy. You know, are you born on the 1st or the 7th or the 18th? If you're born on the 18th, it's a 1 and an 8, which is a 9. You just reduce them down to a single digit. If you're born on, you take the whole month for the outer number and the whole date of birth. So you're going to say, I'm born, let's say, February. So that's the second day, the second month of the year. So you have a 2 there, and you may be born on the 7th. So you have a 7 there. So it's 1 and a 7 is an 8. And then you may be born in 19, let's say, 85. Okay, so you've got so far an 8, and then you've got the rest of it, which is a 1 and a 9. And as I said before, anytime you add any digit to a 9, you get the same digit back. So you can basically cross the 9 out and just add a 1 to the 8, and then whatever the rest of the number is. So if you're born in 85, you've got 8 plus 5 is going to be 13. Which reduces down to a 4. It's a 1 plus 3. So you have 8 plus 1 plus 4, and 8 and 4 is 12. 12 and 1 is 13, and that comes back to a 4. So the number on the outer would be a 4. It's
so
really very easy.
When you do 1966, okay, which was my year, I'm adding what? The 1 and the 9?
Yes, 1, 9, and 6, 6.
And
you
so
should come out with
them.
Right. You're going to add all the digits. And if all you did was just write the digits down and then singularly, so like we do for addition. And so you'd say you were born, what, on the 6th month, so it would be 6, and you were born on the 8th day. Is that correct? Or the 17th day?
I was born on the 17th, so that makes me an 8,
no,
it's right?
An 8. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you were born in 1966. So we go 6 plus 8 plus 1 plus 9 plus 6 plus 6. And that should give you a 9 when you're finished.
Okay. All right. I got you. All right. So.
And I wanted to tell you about the 9 if we have a moment to do that. So.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk about the 9.
9 is so appropriate for you. You're going to love this. I call the nine the bridge between heaven and earth. And these are individuals who are so highly intuitive. They give us answers to our questions before we ask them. They're psychic. They pick up information. Whether they work as a psychic or not is irrelevant. They are individuals who people naturally come to get information because they know that these people will give them the information they need. And they are very, very private individuals. They tend to be private individuals, and they need time to themselves to regenerate. So if you're married to a nine, please don't personalize it when they go off into their space. They need that space. They need that energy. They are so connected to the higher worlds that they need time to regenerate with the higher worlds. So,
that is so me, because that's exactly what I do. I'm married to an airline pilot, and I got to tell you, thank God I am, because he goes on his trips and he flies internationally. He goes on his trip, so I get to kind of withdraw, you know, and
yeah.
I do. And he'll call me and he'll be like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "Nothing's wrong. I just need to be left alone, you know." And it is kind of weird, because I do spend so much time, you know, with other people and reading other people and being connected to other people's emotions, that, you know, and their problems and, you know, their pain even. That when I get a chance to withdraw, I need that. I do need that. You know, I always say I love being alone. People are always like, "Oh my God, how do you spend so much time alone? Isn't it horrible when he's gone?" I'm like, not for me. I think that's why he's a Libra and I'm a Gemini, and that's a good match anyway. But when, you know, I mean, he's very understanding. But I don't think he really, really gets it. You know,
it's very hard for people who are not nines to understand, and that's why I say to people, don't personalize it. Whatever you do, don't do that. That's why it's so important to know people's archetypes, because if you're married to a nine and you're a very outgoing individual, you can't understand why they don't want to go with you to the stadium. Nines usually like to be around more than four people at a time. They're not really comfortable with huge groups of people, and there's a reason for that. They're picking up... information there that it's overwhelming to them, and they don't even realize they're doing that.
I have to send you a copy of my book, because when you read, you're gonna be laughing throughout the entire thing when you're reading, like when I talk about my childhood and my personality and, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is exactly me. I can't go to the mall at Christmas time. I can't go to fairs. I can't go to amusement parks. I can't anywhere there's a large crowd. I can't go. I'm overwhelmed immediately by all the emotion and all the feelings that I'm feeling that are coming from these other people. And and I write all that is in my book, you know, and I write it all in my book, and it's perfect. I mean, it's the perfect. I think of everything that we talked about, that's probably the thing that has baffled me the most about my own personality, is why I act that way, why I am that way, you know, why it happens like this. So
it's so much your archetype, and this is why I think it's very important that spiritual beings think it's very important people learn their archetypes. It just makes life so much easier. If your parents had known that, they wouldn't try to drag you to these things. I always say, you know, if you've got a nine that's going to the big graduation ceremony with you, you are being honored like nobody's business. Because nines don't feel comfortable doing those things. Anytime they say yes to going, they're doing it because they love you. And it's not easy for the rest of the people to really understand that, because most people say, "Oh, well, it's just, you know, going to a big event. Don't you want to go?" You know, it's like they just don't get it.
I was just, you know, like concerts. You know, I'd love to be able to go to concerts. I actually have to drink quite a bit of alcohol in order to be able to go to a concert.
I can't even imagine the psychic drinking alcohol. I've never drunk it, but I can't imagine it, because it's
actually interesting. I think sometimes I'm way more psychic when I do. I pick up on stuff.
Oh, you're completely out of your body by then. I mean, it's just like, oh, here, let me kick myself out of my body.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It is pretty wild. But I'm like, that's the only way you can drag me into a place like that. I'm like, there's no way. I mean, I just can't do it. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's very accurate when it comes to me. So let's do something like this. Let's pick somebody who, let's say, Adolf Hitler. Okay, birth date April 20th, 1889. Does his birth date, does that match with the? Or was he just crazy?
Archetypes are not going to show that a person's crazy. That's not going to, but it can show you the challenges that they had and how they have aberrated them. You know, April 20th, there's a lot to be said about certainly Adolf Hitler. He's a two on the inner, and we take the month of April as the fourth month, so 4 + 2 = 6, 6 + 1 = 7, 7 + 16 = 88. In their 1889, so 16 is another 7, so that's 14, which is a 5, and 5 + 9 = 5. So he's a 5 on the outer, and he's a 2 on the inner. And 5 on the outer tells you a lot. 5 is probably one of the, like I've said before, it's one of the more difficult numbers. Why? Because the mind is so self-absorbing. It's constantly absorbing details, constantly absorbing information. And he also was a 2. When we look at the 9 archetypes, there are certain ones that are really strong and others that are not quite as strong. It's like you have the 1 and the 2 are what I call the inner and outer power numbers. The 1 is what I call it the messenger, the ancient messenger, and the 2 is what I call the dreamer. The 1 is representative of all masculine energy in terms of the mind being capable of seeing clearly and therefore manifesting into the physicality whatever it wants. The 2 is the feminine energy. It is the dreamer, the intuitive, the individual who brings in information and creates on the inner worlds in order to manifest into the physical. Now, to understand what I've just said, you need to also recognize that everything is created on the inner worlds before it comes into the physical. However, the emphasis from the personality state, the one sees it as happening here, doesn't even necessarily relate to the inner world. The two, on the other hand, sees it as a dream vision and is constantly dreaming, and as a result of the dreams manifests into the physical. Two very powerful numbers. The number 4 also is very strong in that it has the ability, because of the sharpness of its mind and the way it understands design or the creation in the physical, it works in the physicality and it stays in control of its world. So it's also very strong. And then the number 9 is another kind of strength, because it's highly intuitive, and it's as though spirit is simply taking and directing that individual. So it's a different kind of strength, but it's also an incredibly strong number. We go to the number 5. This is an incredibly strong mind number, and it's a number that causes people, because of the way they chew on the details, to worry. And we look at Adolf Hitler. He was a man who obviously was nervous, a nervous man. He was creating his world from his vision, which was the 2, okay? But he was creating it with an emphasis on his knowledge or learning, his mind. Everything that he did was based on what his personal viewpoint of history was. And so, therefore, he could actually destroy human life without considering the importance of human life.
Wow.
The 5 has the ability to do that because the 5 is working more in the mental state than it is in any of the emotional states. So hopefully that helps you kind of understand. Of course, there's lots more to Adolf Hitler.
Of course, seriously, there's who knows what was going on there, but just real quickly, trying to go on the other side of things, let's think about somebody who, like John Lennon, for instance,
And he was a Libra, wasn't he? What was his date?
He's October 9th, 1940.
Yeah, see, and here we have the 9 strongly presented. It's his inner number. He is the bridge between heaven and earth, and was he not? And does he still not continue his music to be that? And it's so appropriate. So we've got the month of October is the 10th month, so it's a 1. Plus 9 is still a 9, I mean still a 1, and then the 1-9 again is still a 1, so it's 1 plus 1 plus 4, so he is a 6 on the outer. So we've talked about that. He was certainly someone who did socialize, but we also saw that very private part of him. He held that 9, held him back, but he obviously was very good with socializing or networking. I think he's one of the key parts that pulled that whole group together, the Beatles, kept them together. And he may have been the mindset behind a lot of the connections that they made. I don't know all the Beatles, but his words connect people. He networked people through his words. Most of the music that the Beatles wrote, the majority of it that's very, very well known, was written by John Lennon.
Right.
Yeah. He is the 9 is a very important number, and I think every time I look at his face, I see that 9, because you see him as a very intuitive, and maybe this is because I'm psychic, I don't know, but I see him when I look at his face, I see a very intuitive person who also is humble, who also backs away from you, that backs away, he doesn't come forward, and that's a 9. They're very humble. The 9 is a humble individual, and they're just self-effacing. The bridge between heaven and earth is always self-effacing. Can you find it? Do you see it? It's kind of like the rainbow. Going across that bridge, you have to simply open your awareness at another level.
So when your book comes out, which will be next month. The book is going to be called, by the way, for all the listeners, Birth Date Archetypes, Keys to Understanding Yourself, Your Family, and Your Friends and Enemies, something like that, right? Keys to Understanding Yourself, Your Family, Friends, and Enemies. Yes, that's what it is.
Yes.
Do you actually, in your book, explain all the details about each one of these numbers?
I do. I not only explain the details about each number, I also at the end of each chapter, I end it by pointing out what the talent is very briefly, and also what the challenge is. And I also have a kind of visualization, a kind of thing that a person can do to help them overcome whatever the challenge is. There are ways that we can, whether it's affirmation or visualization technique or EFT, there are ways that we can work with our challenges so that they become less and less. The more we understand who we are, the greater we become. And I don't mean greater in terms of anything egocentric, but rather greater in terms of our gifts to the rest of the world. We're greater when we give our frequency out to uplift all the world. And the more we understand ourselves, the more we're capable of that.
All right. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. But do you think that people ever grow beyond what their number is, what their archetype is?
I do believe they do, and I believe all of us can. What happens is, like any other growth within our states of consciousness within this universe, there are many, many levels to it. Whereas, for example, if we take the number 4, when the 4 is first a very, I want to say almost a brutal 4, they're just simply controlling everything. They don't want anything out of their control. When you evolve as a 4, you start to realize that controlling your own world is what's key. And the more you move into that, the more you celebrate that, the more you let go of controlling others, you become a very divine kind of 4. And that may be, I think it was Daria who was a 4. Am I right?
Right. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And it may be that she has come up to that, and so now what is she dealing with? She's actually moved into a space where she has reversed that energy, and now she has to work. She's coming down, actually, in numbers. She's come to the three, where others are kind of controlling her. The three tends to be more controlled because it says, I'm willing. And what Daria is probably doing is she's come into a space between the three and the four. And so it's very interesting. We evolve, no question about that. As long as we're putting ourselves on a spiritual path, we step beyond where we've been. And there are many plateaus that we come to, many different levels within a number. Some people start with, you know, controlling, they control most of themselves, but when they go to work, they control everyone else. You know, it can be different pockets of your life. When we look at consciousness and how consciousness develops, we as individuated consciousness, we choose the way that we will develop. But we are like multifaceted diamonds, and we may take care of one facet and bring it to its greatest brilliance. Well, still on the other side, there is a piece that's like coal. It's still coal over here, and we need to really work on that one. It's very interesting how we develop it.
Yeah, I think it is. It's fascinating. I think that the you know, what I'm thinking about, what I keep coming up with is, you know, when you give birth to a child, the day you give birth, if you worked out what their archetype is, wouldn't you understand that child from the day it's born, you know, on, throughout all his or her challenges? I mean, how powerful could that be?
It's incredibly powerful. It's so wonderful to be able to give a child the freedom it needs, to give it what it needs. Now, we do it intuitively. If we are good parents, we're loving mothers, and we have that intuitive line. We do a lot of it intuitively, but we still come from a background, from an environment, from belief systems, from what our culture has given us. And if we haven't cleared all of that out, that some of that drives us in how we work with a child to raise it. But if we understand their archetypes or we understand their astrology, we're able to give them the freedom to be who they are without all that other stuff that we are carrying with us.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think as parents, you're trying to fit them into this, you know, you try to take your kids and you try to fit them into this box. Like I have three teenagers, a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 19-year-old, and wow, they couldn't be more different. And you know, and I think of my daughter, my 18-year-old, who is so intense and so artistic, and all, she's an amazing kid, but I'm always like, would you just try and have fun for once? Stop working so hard.
When is her birthday?
She's 9/9. gosh, I just answered my own questions there, didn't I? September 9th, 1994.
Now, I knew she was an earth sign. I just was wondering which one. So she's a Virgo.
Yeah.
God
yeah,
bless
she's
her.
A Virgo.
Another really difficult, it can be a difficult sign, Virgo, because, it's a very mental, it gets down to the details, and it doesn't capture the joy. Even though it's a Mercury sign, you would think that it would capture the joy, but there is some overtone of Saturn that always lives with Virgo, and I don't know why that is, but it's definitely there. So she's a 9 on the inner, and then we've got 1 and 4, so she's a 5 on the outer. Well, she doesn't have anything there to uplift her in terms of make her free of the mind. She's a 5 on the outer and a 9 on the inner. The 9 is highly intuitive and certainly a bridge and certainly giving information to others and needing space of her own, but the 5 is chewing on the details, and so they're the ones who, when I get a client like that, they're the ones who'll say, well, when will this man arrive, and what will he look like? And they'll ask me a gazillion questions, and I'll tell them, Spirit, you know, Spirit doesn't work like that. Just tell Spirit you want this, and they know
right.
exactly what is good for you. You don't have to set every detail to the length of his eyelashes, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, I get that. I get that kind of stuff, too. I mean, doing readings, you know, whether just psychic readings or whether I'm doing numerology reports or whatever. People ask me questions all the time like that, and they want so much detail. Well, when
yeah.
am I going to meet him, and where am I going to meet him, and what does he look like, and what, you know, and I'm like, really? I mean, does it matter? I'm telling you, this is going to be when your whole life changes, you know, this is going to be a life-changing event. Isn't that enough to know? But people
yeah.
do. They want detail. They want all the info.
Yeah, and see, and they don't understand that it creates blocks. It makes it slower for spirit to deliver. It's like putting all of these. It's like if you were sitting there at a restaurant and you say to the waitress, "Well, yeah, I want the pancakes with the butter, but the butter has to be this kind of butter. It has to be in this particular shape, and I want the pancakes to be exactly this size and this high." And she's still writing. She's writing this long list that you're giving her. And then she has to take that list, and she has to give that list to the chef, and the chef has to look through all of those details, set everything together, because that's not how he normally makes stuff.
Yeah.
You've made so many blocks for spirit. Just tell them, you know what I want, you know what I need, I want the best you've got, get it here now.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. It's so funny. I just think about my, you know, my son being the complete opposite of my daughter. You know, he doesn't, I mean, he worries, but he doesn't really take the action. Like my daughter, my 18-year-old is completely action oriented, has to be, and she's so intense. Oh my God. She's so intense. I'm just like, relax, you know, enjoy your life. You're 18 years
yeah.
old. I was having a blast when I was 18 years old. You know?
No,
I mean,
yeah, no. That's, and God knows how it all constructs in her chart, but Virgo is so directed. They have a direction, and they have to fulfill it, and it's one step at a time. And
my son is October 24th,
1993. So, he's a six on the inner, so there's the happy face. I see the six
yeah.
as a happy face. This is what I call the social butterfly. You can see it as a happy face. So it's 1 plus 6 plus 1 plus 3. So he is 9, 10, 11. He's an 11. He's a 2. So he's a 2, 6. That's really, really different. So much lighter. He's one who, through the dream state, he creates. He is a visionary. You know, Einstein used to do that. When he couldn't get an answer, he would just go take a nap. That's what I would say to your son. When you can't get an answer, just go take a nap because it's appropriate for you. You're someone who, through the dream state, you'll bring and manifest what you want. You know, that's what Tesla did. He would go on the inner planes and create all his inventions. He would test them out on the inner planes. Then he would come back. Once they worked real well there, he would create them in the physicality. That's
right.
A two. That's the power of the two. They do everything through the dream state. And what they have to watch out for is the same kind of challenge that you have, not so much getting out, because he doesn't have that challenge at all, but it's a challenge I didn't cover, and that is that you can sometimes be self-incriminating. You self-defeat. You hurt yourself. You say, I'm the one who's not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm whatever. And you tend to blame yourself for things, and you need to take those swords out and throw them away and honor who you are. Honor every choice you make, because the choices that both of you are making are based on an intuitive energy. So what happens is when the mind comes back in, it says, that's a bad choice. And the mind doesn't know anything. The higher self knows everything.
Right,
you made that choice
right.
in a 360-degree zone. It is perfect for you. You just don't understand why. And if the
right.
results out and they look terrible, it may have been a karmic thing that you needed to clear out. Don't make those decisions that you have to beat yourself up now because you made this choice. You actually made the right choice, so you need to honor those choices. And, of course, he's also the six, so he's a great networker. And being a Libra and a six, he's a super communicator. That would be a fabulous communicator.
Yeah, he's really good at, like... he's very social. He's very good at, he's, you know, very polite. He's, you know, but he's gone from wanting to be a vet to a lawyer to a mechanic to joining the military to, I mean, he is so flipping all over the place all the time with what he wants to do with his life. And, you know, and I'm not one to push it because I don't think that at 18 and 19 years old, we necessarily in all cases know what we want to do with our lives yet, you know, and, but he,
yeah.
I mean, he was all over
he,
the place.
He might benefit,
you know,
from an astrological consultation, because when we do astrology, we can actually define what that soul, some of what that soul really wants to accomplish in this lifetime, and help the person really key in on what they are truly passionate about. Being a Libra, I actually consider it probably the most difficult sign of all the signs.
I think he's a Scorpio, isn't he?
Oh, 24. He's a Scorpio. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
He's a Scorpio.
So the six is the with making choices that's difficult for him. You know, Scorpio actually is not, it's still a challenging sign compared to some of the other ones, but
my,
Scorpio
my
is all about transformation
Scorpio.
And there are many levels that they go through. So
yeah, I think they're a difficult sign. My son's much easier than my, but my first husband was a Scorpio. It's my two oldest, their dad. And I, you know, he was, that's a difficult sign. I mean, I thought, at least from a Gemini's perspective, I can tell you that, you know,
Gemini
was not an
Gemini
easy
is the jovial sign. Gemini is mercurial in every way. And actually all the greatest comedians are Gemini. Gemini is a great sign. Because I don't even know how you got on with the Scorpio. You had to have cross action with your moons. Because Scorpio is very difficult for Gemini. My goodness.
Yeah,
one
is
so intense, the other is so light.
Yeah, I was born with a Gemini moon, too. So I'm a Gemini.
Oh, wow.
And a Gemini.
Well, unless he had an air moon or a fire moon, I don't know how you guys got along. That's
well, we
really
got divorced. We got divorced. That's how we got along.
You came together karmically to have children, and sometimes people
would
do that.
Yeah, came together karmically. That's exactly what I always say. We were meant to have those kids, and that's why we were married. And now we don't talk to each other, and that makes life much easier. So, it wasn't a relationship that was meant to be, for sure. Not one of those ones made in the stars.
Yeah. Well, made in the stars in terms of your karmic world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really there's so much that's so fascinating about this, and I really can't wait to get your book. And I really am thinking that all three of my kids could actually benefit from, you know, having a reading done with you. And I mean, so you do these over the phone?
I work with clients all over the world. I've been, you know, working with clients for more than a couple of decades, more 30 years or whatever, 40 years. I don't know how many years. It's a lot of time. But, I work with people over the phone because I live in the middle of nowhere, and no one knows where I live. So
You're out in the boonies, like we call it, huh? And out in the boonies.
Yeah, every now and then someone will be coming up the I-5 corridor, and they'll know I'm not far from the I-5 corridor, so they'll come and visit for a day or for an hour or whatever, and I'm delighted when they do. So, but I do. I would be happy to work. I love working with children, young people. We have so many young people today who are here without having done a lot of reincarnation, and so they're here, and they're really, the chaos that is here from the last time that they incarnated is so volatile compared to what they experienced back then, that it's very difficult for them. And I think that's why when you look out in the world today and you see so many children who have autism, so many children who are committing suicide early in life, this is part of the issue. They don't know how to work with the chaos. And the parents who have been what I call reincarnates, they've been here, they've been on the wheel since Atlantis went down, those individuals, they in the deep of this physicality, they've come so far down into the physicality, they are accustomed to the chaos to degrees that they don't know how to help the individual who is simply doesn't understand it and is completely unaccustomed to it. And it's very difficult, very difficult. And I would love to be able to help every one of them. The key is love. That really is the key. And if you do nothing else, I say this to everyone who's listening and everyone who will listen, just simply practice love. If you practice loving, and I don't mean controlling, I don't mean needy love. I mean loving, which is the love that comes in when you align yourself with spirit and it comes through you and it flows out of you. It uplifts everyone. Pour that
right
into your child, and that will
yeah
help them.
Yeah, you know what, and you're right. If you know nothing else about about any of this stuff, if you know nothing about their astrological signs or their numbers or any of their archetypes, whatever, bottom line, love them for who they are, and that's kind of all you gotta do. I mean, if they feel your love, if they know they're loved, I always tell my kids, you always have a place to come home. Now, especially
mm-hmm
that they're getting older, you always
yeah
have a home. This is anywhere I am. I don't care where I go. You always have a home, and that's with me. Go out there, experience anything you want to experience. Experience it, and know that there's a soft place to land here waiting for you. Whether you make it or crash and burn, whatever, you've got us, you've got your family, and we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here for you forever until we're not, until we're gone. So I think that's so important.
And then you'll still be with them even when you're going.
Yeah,
when you're
absolutely
out of the reality. They're not going to leave your kids even when you're out of the physicality. How often do we work with people? I'm sure you do too, where you're fully aware of the mother and father and grandfather and great grandfather and all of the people who are there in the room with you.
Oh yeah, I say that all the time. It's like it's amazing. It's amazing how I get these messages, and they all have something to add. They all have something to say. Just that, we love you, we're proud of you. I mean, those being the basic things that I get most of is, we're proud, and I think that's just so, so critical. So and it's just so, it makes you feel good. It's great to know that their energy never die, that their energy doesn't die, that their souls are still there, and they still care,
Yeah.
I'm still gonna be trying to give my kids little pats on the head when I'm not in this physical world anymore.
I'm sure you will. I don't doubt that at all. But you're gonna be here for quite a while, so
yeah.
No luck.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Yeah, so anyway, I've really enjoyed this. This has been a lot of fun, and we definitely have to do this again. What maybe we should do is schedule something for after your book comes out so we can even talk more about it, because once I have it in my hands and I can read it, I'll be like, I'll have all kinds of things I want to know.
And, okay. Well, that'd be fabulous. I would love to come back. I totally enjoyed being with you, so.
I really enjoyed your being here, and I really appreciate it, and I definitely want to have you back on again. It's a fascinating, fascinating topic. Everyone, watch for Michelle Avanti's book coming out. It's called Birth Date Archetypes, Keys to Understanding Yourself, Your Family, your family, friends, and enemies. It's just a comma, and I wrote it down, and it looks like not a comma, and I think that's what's tripping me up. But you also can be tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. Do you have a website, whatever, that people can?
You can always go to astrologyandmore.com, even though the website is pretty antique at this point, and I'm about to put a new one up. That has links at the very top of the website to my blog and to my Facebook page and to all kinds of things. So that's an easy place to go, astrologyandmore.com, and you just write the whole word out, A-N-D-M-O-R-E. But you can also call me if you want to call me. My number is 541-863-6631. And you can also find me on Facebook. All you have to do is be able to spell my name, and it's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, just one L, and the separate name is Avanti, A, V as in Vincent, A, N, T as in Tom, I. And I say only one L because there is a young lady who became a porn star who used my name.
Awesome.
That's a long story, but it's quite interesting.
Yeah, that's always nice. That's always really great when you get somebody Googles your name and a porn star comes up. Yeah, and that's not what I was looking for.
Well, when you write for children, it's kind of terrible because I do write for children.
Yeah.
I mean, my book that won 3 awards is about a dragon, and I call it Metaphysics 101, but it's in a wonderful story that unless you're looking, you won't see the metaphysics. You'll just learn it. It's about a dragon called Greehi, the Journey of Five. So,
what's the book called?
Greehi, G-R-E-E-H-E-E, the Journey of Five.
Oh, that sounds really. And I didn't even know that. I don't know how I didn't know that, but I don't know that.
I thought I had sent you a copy of my book, but I guess not.
No,
I'll have to send you a copy. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love the idea of working with kids, and like I said, even with the archetypes, I wish I would have known this when my kids were born, because I think it would have given me I probably would have slammed my head into a wall a lot less, because I would have understood them better.
Absolutely.
Like,
well, that's why this little book should be really helpful to lots and lots of people. When my nephew first read the manuscript, he was I think he was about 14 or 15 at the time. This is how old the manuscript is. This goes back to the early, the last century, the end of the last century. And he said, "Aunt Michelle, I need 5 copies of this to give to each of my friends. How soon can I get them?" Oh,
that's
Lord,
so
he's about to turn 29 now, so.
Oh, my goodness. That is an old manuscript you're sitting on there.
Oh, yeah, I have so many of them. I have a closet filled with manuscripts. It's time to get them out into the world.
Absolutely, because we can all learn so much from all of this, and I can't wait for the book to come out, and I'm definitely going to be on the list of people buying it right away, because it's going to be. Would you know where it's going to be for sale yet? Is it going to be on Amazon and things, or are you going to sell it personally?
I'm going to set it up for Kindle, and then I will also probably sell it just directly. I don't know if I'm going to have it printed. I think I'm probably going to end up approaching Llewellyn and see if they might be interested in it. They've asked me in the past to please write some books for them, and I just haven't done it yet. So. They wanted me to write some astrology books because, I'm pretty well known, actually, as an astrologer.
I found out about you, and I was fascinated by what you do, and I love this. I really can't wait for the book to come out, and I'm definitely gonna be checking that out as soon as it comes out. I'll be downloading it on my Kindle. Trust me. But I really appreciate your being on the show, and definitely I will send you an email, and I'll try to get you booked next month again, because I do have some openings still in August for some dates. Yeah, so I can get you on next month again, and we can talk some more and do some more live readings, and we can advertise it ahead of time that you're going to be doing some readings, and I'm sure we'll get lots of callers, and people will love it. So I'm really excited. I think this is – I can't wait for it to come out. I really can't. I'm really excited about it.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll have it out here. So I'm very excited that I'm finally going to get it out into the world. And this grand sextile that's coming the end of this month is totally awesome. So it couldn't be a more perfect time to put anything out. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you're aiming for that date. That's great too, to get it out on that date. So that's awesome. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being on the show. And I will definitely be in touch. I'll send you some dates I have open in August, to get you back on. And we'll start doing more of this and selling your book.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks so much.
Lisa, you have a fantastic day.
Thank you. You do the same.
Much love to everyone who's listening.
Thank you. All right, everyone. I do have a second guest scheduled, but I have not heard from them yet. And, you know, we always have this time zone problem. If you're out there, second guest, Dr. Janice Fletcher, in your, maybe you didn't hit one or something, so I'm not able to see you in the queue. I'm not really sure. But if you're out there, just press one, dial into the show, 347-945-7246. And press one, and I'll see you in the queue. Right now, we're going to take a commercial break, and after that, we will either continue with our second guest or we will wrap it up. So, if everyone can just hold for me through the commercials, I will be right back.
Hi, this is Daria Ann, author and founder of the Writestream Radio Network. If you're an author, writer, blogger, or just someone who enjoys reading and learning, I hope you'll tune in to our inspiring, insightful, and educational programs. Every Sunday, join author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvez for Just Believe at 1 p.m. Eastern, when she explores a variety of spiritual topics, including alternative healing modalities. A gifted intuitive from a young age, Lisa's book, entitled Just Believe, chronicles her journey from a childhood of seeing and communicating with angels to a career in which she uses her talents to help others emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Each week, she interviews experts in the fields of personal growth, spiritual development, and alternative medicine. Military Mondays with author and military historian John D. Gresham analyzes current events and issues from the perspective of the United States military. Tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday when John, author of such books as Uncommon Valor and journalist for the Defense Media Network, interviews accomplished guests on important topics like national security and defense and global terrorism. Writestream Tuesdays with Daria Ann airs at 1 p.m. Eastern and welcomes authors in diverse genres, including romance, drama, military history, spirituality, and politics. We also speak social, discussing the benefits and pitfalls of social media platforms and the numerous and plentiful publishing formats now available with various experts in order to help other authors navigate through new technology to reach higher levels of success. During every broadcast, we welcome your calls at 347-945-7246. And, of course, the chat room is always open. Can't listen live? No worries. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/writestream to listen to the archives. And be sure to join us for our weekly Thursday Writestream Twitter chat at 11 a.m. Eastern using the hashtag Writestream on Twitter. Rejoice in the flow of creativity with the Writestream Radio Network and the Writestream Twitter chat.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need two steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the Writestream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com, that's LISATARVES, for details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
All right, everybody. Hi, it's Lisa. I'm back on Just Believe Radio on the Writestream Network. I have not been able to get my second guest on, so we're going to just wrap the show up now. I will get her scheduled again very soon. You know, things come up. People have things come up, and I'm sure that was the issue. There was, you know, something that could have been a time zone thing. We do have that problem a lot with time zones for some reason, but... Michelle was a great guest. I learned so much about archetypes and breaking down those numbers. Always confused me. She makes it so simple. And everyone, please watch for her book to come out. Check out her website. Watch for her book to come out, because I think it's going to be a really interesting read for everybody. And like I said, I mean, from the second you have a child or a grandchild, or, you know, whatever age your children are, knowing their archetype, I think, would be amazing in helping to understand your children and to raise your children and respect, you know, who they are and how they're going about their life. I it's a great idea. So the book is going to be called Birth Date Archetypes, Keys to Understanding Yourself, Your Family, Friends, and Enemies. By Michelle Avanti. So I'm definitely going to get her booked on again next month when the book's out, so we can all buy it right away. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be, I can't wait to have it. I think it's going to be really, really fun. I'm going to figure out every single person I know's archetype. I'm going to like spend days doing this. I can just tell. Anyway, so always on Just Believe Radio, we air every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Every week we have amazing guests, one or two guests every week on the show, and we cover lots of fascinating topics under the spirituality umbrella. Don't forget to check out my webpage at www.lisatarvis.com, where you'll find links to my Facebook page, my Twitter page, my LinkedIn account, and all the other social stuff that I'm on. And you also find links to where you can buy my book called Just Believe, which is a story about my growing up as an intuitive, my growing up with the ability to see and talk to angels, and from the time I don't remember not being able to, so I would say from a very early age, and then how it's formed my beliefs and who I've become as a person and a spiritual teacher. So www.lisatarvis.com. All my links are there. All the archives are there for past shows that I've been on as a guest, or that I try to update them as quickly as possible. I don't know if last week's is up there, but the archives for Just Believe Radio they are also there, or you can find them under the Rightstream Network on Blog Talk. So. Everyone, if you follow me on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you will get you'll get lots of different articles that I read or that I write and that I send out. I send out inspirational quotes as often as I can, and just all different information about what I'm doing, what's going on with me, and links to a lot of different interesting spiritual related topics. So until next week, everyone, I hope everyone has a very, very happy coming up, third week of July. I cannot believe we are like talking mid-July already. This is crazy. Time is flying. I still haven't planted my perennial or my plants out front. I guess it's too late now. Anyway, everybody have a really, really safe week and a really great week, and find some joy in your life. It's there. Just look for it. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.